It would take a number beyond reckoning. Thousands to storm the keep.
Tens of thousands.
But, my lord, there is no such force.
This night the land will be stained with the blood of Rohan.
I mean your dog. Or your cat. You know, when the fleas bite and suck your pet's blood, and then the flea poops out blood. While this is happening, you are likely not getting a good night's sleep because your dog is scratching. Or maybe you are scratching. I'm Dr. Nathan the Gray, and about 40% of vet-related problems can be attributed to fleas, and that's what we are going to start talking about today. Oh, fleas, fleas, fleas. I'm not sure if I hate them or love them. They are a nuisance and bother animals immensely, but they also have made me a lot of money over the years, mostly because people don't take my advice on how to combat them. Fleas are like Saruman's army, countless in number and never ceasing, meant to destroy the human race. And let's remember, fleas were pivotal in trying to wipe out the human race. Yersinia pestis, what you know as bubonic plague, was transmitted by Xenophila chopis, the oriental rat flea. We have all been worried about the effects of COVID, but that is child's play next to the bubonic plague. Some estimates have half the population dying because of the bacteria this flea brought to Europe. But really, I made the comparison of Saruman's army in the Two Towers, but fleas are more like Sauron's army in Return of the King, countless in number. There are more than 2,500 species of flea in the world. Tina cephalides felis, Tina cephalides canis, the dog flea, Pulex irritans, the human flea, just to name a few. Fleas are the most common ectoparasite of dogs and cats in North America. In North America, C. felis is what affects most pets. I've already mentioned plague as a disease, but that disease is less significant than it has been in the past with the discovery of antibiotics. Fleas can transfer other diseases, though, and can cause other problems. I've seen many pets, mostly young ones, but sometimes adults, that are anemic and need life-saving measures because they are overburdened with fleas. This means they have so many fleas that the fleas suck so much blood that your pet didn't have enough blood to survive. A common, though not quite as severe problem, is tapeworms, which are also transmitted by fleas. Many people come to the clinic because of tapeworms, and we need to treat fleas as well as treating the tapeworm to prevent the owner from freaking out when the tapeworm proglottids, or grains of rice as the owner describes them, fall out of their animal's butt. But that's not all. Fleas can transmit a disease called Bartonella or rickettsial diseases as well. Thankfully, the most common, well, I guess thankfully, the most common thing I see is just allergies or dermatitis. So many dogs come in with red, infected skin and hair loss because they are just itching so much from flea bites that they have chewed and scratched themselves raw, chewing away their hair, and the skin has secondary infections from having their skin scratched and broken so frequently. Typically, I see this mostly on the rear end of dogs and cats, but I have seen it over the entire body. This can be caused by a large number of fleas, but some animals have allergies so severe to this flea saliva, just one bite can cause all the symptoms I've described. Besides being such a public health issue to humans, fleas can make your pet sick and are just an extreme nuisance to the animals. Yet, for some reason, when I see the signs of fleas, people love arguing with me saying their animal just doesn't have fleas. Or even when finding the fleas, the people don't want to treat for fleas but would rather just treat the itching. As I said, fleas have made me a lot of money, and they will make me a lot more money when people don't treat the root cause of the itching, the fleas. So I'm going to jump into discussing fleas and their life cycle. But first, remember this. I found a chart once, and it is my favorite flea thing. 5% of fleas are adults, 10% pupa, 35% are larva, 50% are eggs. They are coming. Imagine an adult flea. It is just crawling or jumping around on your pet, and then it starts laying eggs. These eggs are about 0.5 millimeters in size, and they don't stick on your pet, but they fall to the ground. These eggs will then hatch into larvae and remain as larvae for about 7 to 10 days, and will feed on blood from flea feces, or what we call flea dirt, that has fallen to the ground with them. They will also eat other organic debris. They may even eat their flea eggshell for nutrients, or be cannibalistic little buggers and eat other flea larvae. How may you as a client see flea dirt still on your animal? If you give it a bath and the dirt on your pet turns red, this is blood. This is flea poop. Fleas poop out blood that looks brown or black to your eyes. When you mix it with water, it's going to turn red. Outside, fleas like to develop in cool, shady areas. And inside, they like carpets or under furniture and along baseboards. Remember that when we talk about prevention and cleaning later, because that's the areas to really hit with the vacuum. Also, check your closets. I've had many clients come back to me and tell me they have found high flea populations in a closet or an area that the pet goes to sleep when the owner isn't around and the owner rarely cleans. So after the larvae have been larvae for 7 to 10 days, they turn to pupa, or cocooned creatures. But in their cocoon, in 8 to 13 days, depending on humidity and temperature, they're not going to emerge as a beautiful butterfly. They emerge as a blood-sucking flea. But here's where it gets interesting. They can wait to emerge. They can wait, protected in a cocoon, to emerge when the time is right. They aren't going to come out if there's nothing for the flea to eat. While typically most are hatched in a month, they can stay in their cocoon for 30 weeks. That's 7 months. Just waiting for your pet to walk by. This is why we recommend flea control year-round, because these pupa are waiting, just like landmines buried in wars gone by, waiting to explode, or the watcher in the waters at the walls of Moria. They are waiting. And when your animal bumps these cocoons, or the CO2 levels rise because your animal is near, they emerge and hop on your animal ready to eat its blood. Once they hop on your animal, in 24 hours, they start laying eggs again. They can lay 40 to 50 eggs per day. And then those eggs fall onto the ground, and the whole process starts again. Remember my chart I mentioned before I discussed the life cycle? 5% of the fleas are adults, 10% are pupa, 35% are larvae, 50% are eggs. If you see one flea, that's only 5% of what is there. You aren't seeing 95% of what's going on. They are coming. They are coming. They are coming. How do we fight this horde? We need preventatives year-round. I remember growing up, everyone went off preventatives in the winter. Well, it's warmer now. The fleas are here. Unless you have low humidity like out west, you may fare better. Before we go into flea control, let's rule out some myths about flea control. If you feed your animal garlic, besides keeping vampires away, you will not keep the fleas away. Granted, of the two, vampires may be more problematic, so live your best life. While B vitamins are helpful for a lot of issues, and I give to sick animals, they will not keep the fleas away either, nor will adding brewer's yeast to your pet's diet. There are things that may work. Avon's Skin So Soft makes a barrier on your pet that might help keep the fleas off. I have recommended this product on horses that are getting chewed up by insects, and it does help. Sodium polyborate or diatomaceous earth. I have seen people use these, especially diatomaceous earth, and while I feel it may work in a laboratory, I don't think people are able to apply it in real-world scenarios effectively. So don't waste your time and money. Get a flea preventative. Remember I said fleas are in their cocoon as pupa for a long time? Well, flea bombs can't get the fleas as pupa. Their cocoon protects them. So I feel like using flea bombs just gives you a false sense of security. Use flea preventatives. You do have some things working to your advantage. Outside fleas can survive for just 10 days when it hits 37 degrees out, or 5 days when it's just above freezing. Most fleas die within 1 to 2 weeks without a host. So the cold helps you, and if there aren't a bunch of animals around that fleas can live on, that helps you. They need a host and a warm area outside. So where are they surviving in winter? On animals outside or in your house? Oh yeah, there are things you can do in the environment of your house. I always recommend a good thorough cleaning and vacuuming. Remove as many flea eggs and larvae from the environment as possible. Wash your animals' beddings and your blankets, and do as much cleaning on couches and stuff like that that you can. You won't get them all, but you can reduce their numbers, which means there will be less to jump on your pet, so the preventatives have to do less work. We have created great flea-killing drugs, so let's use them. Are you sensing a trend of my recommendation? Let's talk about flea preventatives. So researching the history of flea preventatives, the first thing I could find is Malathion. This was new to me. As you can tell, I can't even pronounce it, because I've never seen it used in all my years of practice. I have no knowledge of it, and I think it was a pretty basic control, which just pales in comparison to what we have today. Lots of studies of the flea got started in 1981. In 1994, Program Sentinel, or Lufenuron, came out. We didn't recognize until 1995 urban wildlife were a cold weather reservoir of fleas. In 1996, Bayer came out with imidacloprid. Selamectin, or Revolution, comes in 1999, and then the early 2000s is when things got going and the first combination of modern residual adulticides and insect growth regulators came out, Frontline Plus. From there, we have branched into more products than I can keep count of or even know. So, do I recommend Frontline Plus? It revolutionized flea control and was very, very effective. I tell people I don't think Frontline works anymore. Hence, I tell them to get my current products. But I don't know if it is true that it doesn't work. I see a lot of people applying it wrong, or they bathe an animal right after it is applied. You're not supposed to bathe the animal or let it get rained on before or after application for at least 48 hours. Also, so many people tell me they're on Frontline, but they aren't. They're on another product like Pet Armor, which has the same ingredients, but is made by a different company. To explain that, my wife makes some wonderful foods. I am blessed to have her, and so are my taste buds and stomach. However, even if she makes something my mother makes and uses my mother's recipes, it doesn't quite taste the same as when Mom makes it. Good, albeit, but no one cooks just like Mom. Pet Armor may have the same ingredients as Frontline, but it's just not made the same. That's why I've moved on to two products, and these two products are damn effective. The drug companies will tell you, the numbers varying a little per product, that these products have greater than 95% kill rate of fleas that jump on the animal within 24 hours, most of the killing occurring in the first 6 to 8 hours. Think about it. Most fleas are dead within 6 to 8 hours. The fleas can't lay eggs, so the fleas die, don't have time to reproduce, and then it's just a waiting game to flush all the fleas out that are hiding in their cocoons. I always tell people that even though I recommend year-round flea prevention, you need to at least be on it for 3 months if you have fleas, because by that time the odds are in your favor that you've flushed those fleas out. Well, Doc, that's some fancy numbers, but your products Are they that much better than I can get over the counter at Walmart?
Yes. Yes, they are. I never tell people those numbers I just mentioned. It's pointless. What I tell people to sell these products is what one client told me. Well, I always used flea control that was from the store. I always saw less fleas, but there were still fleas around. I used your product, and there were no fleas. I don't think people realize how effective these products are. I don't think they see the value in them, so they want to get something a little cheaper that doesn't work near as well. It's just not worth going cheap here. The control is so much better than the over-the-counter products, and usually these drugs do more. The two products I recommend for fleas also take care of ticks. Some can deworm, some have heartworm preventions in them, and these products take care of other parasites that aren't even labeled for them to take care of. There are tons of products out there, and they all do their unique things. I'm not going to go through them all. I'll tell you the two I use, NexGard and Brevecto. I love having the drug reps in as they try to sell me their products, because both the NexGard and the Brevecto rep admit all the products out there work well, and then they go on to tell me the minutiae of why their product is a little better and why I should buy their product to sell to my customers. What it came down to for me is price and time. Each costs me and has different amounts of sizes to stock. I look at the numbers and keep in the clinic what I can to keep the prices low for clients, since I know both are effective. And I also look at the fact that I have tons of clients who purchase one dose a month versus 6 months or 12 months at a time, or even 3 months. They can't afford Brevecto all at one time, which is 3 months in one dose. So I carry NexGard in the clinic and Brevecto on my online pharmacy. In the rooms, once pricing is out of the way, I tell people it's all about your schedule. Since they both work extremely well, would you like to set a reminder on your Google Calendar to give a dose once every 3 months? Or would you like to just give a dose at the first of every month? They both work. Choose what goes well for your schedule. I've got one in the clinic here, and I've got one on the online pharmacy. That way the people who can't afford the 3 months at a time with Brevecto can get the 1 month at a time. Could I change what I carry in the future and why I recommend stuff? Sure. But for the past 5 years, that's what I have been doing, and it seems to work well.
But Doc, the stuff you sold me isn't working.
Well, sure, maybe it's not, but my company's backed their products and will help you out if you purchase through me and apply it properly. But here's one other flea fact that most people forget and sometimes I can't decipher in the exam room. Most fleas are permanent ectoparasites. They stay on one animal. When I tell clients they're getting fleas from one animal in the house, it's the eggs that hatch that infect the new animal. I have so many clients that have a dog or a cat that they don't bring to the vet or even mention to the vet. Maybe it's a spouse's. Maybe it's that stray that just moved in and people feed. Or a cat that never goes outside. Well, every animal in the house, or maybe it's a rabbit or another mammal. Every animal in the house needs to be on flea control. If it's a mammal, it can get fleas. If you treat one animal and not another, flea eggs are being laid on that other animal, which will infect the other animals in the house. And you just keep seeing the fleas that are hatching from the unprotected animal jumping on your animal that is on preventative. And those fleas die, but they never quite go away because they're coming from the animal not on flea prevention. And that's when people tell me that the flea prevention isn't working. So we've got to get all the animals on a flea prevention. It's not easy, and it's not without cost. But in the war against parasites, I'd rather spend a little money to fight the hordes than end up with bubonic plague.
I'm Dr. Nathan. Thanks for listening. I hope our discussions are valuable to you and aid in giving perspective. If you want to contact us, please reach out to theveterinarypodcast@gmail.com. You can find a complete list of the podcast episodes on SoundCloud. If you find this information helpful and want more content, please join our Patreon, patreon.com/theveterinarypodcast. And don't forget to follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/theveterinarypodcast. As always, thanks for listening, and I hope this information is helpful to you. If you do find it helpful, please like it, share it, so other people may find it helpful as well.